But we're going to be in James chapter 3, verse, actually verses 13 through 18 is where we're going to, but we're going to start back in actually chapter 3, verse 11 through 12, where we left off last time, last sermon, where James was focused on the power of the tongue to create evil, to destroy, to cause harm, even to influence it. Its potential it has to cause harm to people. And I forgot to make a point last time when it talks about it stains the whole body. It's not just our own personal life that it can stain, but it can also stain the whole body, meaning the church body. When the tongue starts to cause evil and harm, it can affect everybody in the community. And so that's what he's talking about, this potential. But also we talk about the power and potential of the tongue of someone that's filled with the Holy Spirit, been renewed by the Holy Spirit, to bless people and make a difference and bring life to people. And so there's that contrast. But he ended it with this metaphor, that section, that focus here, before he focuses on the wisdom. And this is, I want to start with this, reading this. It says, James chapter 3, verse 11 through 12, says, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh water and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or grapevines produce fig? Now, what's the answer?
No.
He's asking a rhetorical question on purpose to get the no answer. And he says, neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So he's using his metaphor to make a point here. He's making a point that our words flow from a source. And so it's important that we not just cleanse our words and our tongue, like he was talking about what the tongue can do and harm, but he's talking about cleansing the source. What brings out the words we speak and how we use our tongue is directed by our heart. You notice the songs, I asked Nancy to play some songs that dealt with the heart. It's really out of our heart. The source of our words are inside of us. The way we think and the way we speak. Even Jesus, let's go to the next one, Dave. I'm going to bring in, actually, four more. Do I don't have it? No? I don't have it. What did it say? Never mind. I have it here. It's Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 35. These are Jesus' words. And he's speaking here, and he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers. Jesus was always a boy.
Right to the point.
How can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. So you know the kind of tree is by the fruit. You don't go looking for oranges on an apple tree. And so you know the kind of fruit, but you know the kind of tree is by the fruit it produces. And whether it's good or evil, Jesus using that to make using a metaphor to say, you know whether the tree is good or evil by the fruit it produces. Therefore, out of the mouth will come what the heart is full of. The treasure of our heart produces what comes out of our mouth. So a salt pond, back to James' analogy, a salt pond can't produce fresh water because it's not fresh spring. Only clean spring can produce fresh water. So the key is speaking the right words, what you talk about. When I was 2 weeks ago, when I talked about the tongue, let's say, well, I got to stop doing this. We try to bear down on ourselves and try to make a change. What we're going to find out is we can do it. Because he said, no human can tame the tongue. Only God can tame the tongue. And so here, as we're talking about this, he's talking about the source. James is going to focus now on the source of the words. And help us understand, it's the source of what we have to deal with. And so today we're going to shift from the words we speak to the source of those words, the wisdom that fills our heart. Now, when I say wisdom, when we think of wisdom, it's like you go to a bunch of lectures, right? You guys are going to gain a lot of wisdom listening to me today, right? No! It's not the degrees you get. It's not all the lectures you listen to. I mean, we have tons of teachers and tons of teaching out there. Do you gain wisdom by listening to it? No, what James talks about is by applying. Wisdom is the wherewithal to apply the moral, spiritual insight and discernment we have. It's being able to apply it to our life in a very practical way. So wisdom always finds some kind of expression in the way we live our life. So he's talking about, when he talks about wisdom, that's what he's talking about. Wisdom, when we're talking about the title, is wisdom that's from above. Let's look at this. So it's about being, remember one of the things James talked about, it being a doer of a word, not just a
hearer.
Hearing a word alone won't make you wise, but doing it, persevering through the trial, being steadfast in it, it starts to produce wisdom. How many have learned some things because of the trials they've gone through? Okay, probably every one of us, right? That's wisdom. And so we can share with other people, but we have to learn things from our own wisdom. That's what he's talking about. Let's read now, James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? The first time I read this, I think I was reading it. He's like, who's the wise guy? Faith? Glenn? Who's the wise guy? Who's wise? Oh, good. Now, wise don't hit your husbands. Who is wise and understanding among you? He's asking this question. He's trying to get their attention. He did it earlier. He says, you know, don't be quick to be a teacher. Earlier. Remember the last good lesson is an influencer. Like, who's wise? Who's understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is pure and peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So he's asking this, so who's wise and understanding among you? Remember he said, who's got faith? Show me your faith by your works. What's he saying here? Who thinks he's wise and understanding? Well, show me. Here's your mission, show and tell. Don't tell me about your wisdom, show me your wisdom. Show me by the life you live and the words you speak. He's actually confronting us here with show it, not just talk about it. See, like you talked about the spring, the salt pond can't produce clean water. And so here saying is our good conduct. Our words and our works reveal the kind of wisdom we have. It shows who we are, where we are at in our walk with God, and the wisdom we've grown into. That's what he's saying. He's saying, look at your life. So he's actually, who's wise and understanding? He's actually calling you. Now he's starting to set a standard. How to judge yourself. Where are you at? He's saying to them, but he's also saying it to us. Are you wise and understanding? Look at your own life. Where's the standard of your life? What's it look like? What's it reveal about the wisdom? But he's also doing one thing. Remember we talked about earlier. He says, who wants to be a teacher or an influencer? He's challenging them by setting a standard to evaluate teaching. To evaluate those who want to influence people. Who you should be listening to. Who we shouldn't be listening to. He's setting a standard. Judging not the people, but judging their expression of what they're saying. And so it's important that we see this and understand this. Because is there a lot of voices today? Just turn on the TV, right? Yeah. Turn on, who looks at Facebook? All the different news. There's all these different voices on all different devices calling for different responses. Constantly. We have to be careful what we listen to. And remember, part of the culture was there was a zealot movement that was calling and speaking violent rhetoric, calling for striking out against the government, striking out against the wealthy. And so they're being a voice. So he's not going to identify people, but he's going to identify characteristics of those voices and what we should and shouldn't listen to and give heed to. It's important that we understand this. The very first characteristic, what is it? Meekness. Meekness. Wisdom here, the first character he points out is recognizing weakness. Meekness and wisdom. Weakness, right? No, meekness. Meekness. It's not weak either. It's wisdom. This is wisdom from above. The wisdom that comes from God. Truly the wise man is meek, is what he's saying. Meekness, what is this? Power and strength under control and constraint. It's the exact opposite of the zealot movement of oppression and aggression. So he's saying, he's also right here, right in the very beginning. The voices that are aggression and oppression, that's not the wisdom from above. One of the very foundations is meekness, power and strength under control. Important to remember. And so then James goes on and says, this is another part. He goes on, it's bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts. Do not boast and be false to the truth.
Selfish, bitter jealousy and selfish ambition.
And he says here, but if you have, right? The way it's worded in the Greek, but if you have, it's making an assertion that some of you already have this. You've got bitter jealousy. You've got selfish ambition mixed in with this. And he's telling us. So he's saying to all of us. I think we all could probably say, yeah, we go down that road sometimes. We have this potential to go down that road. And so he's wanting us to realize this is for every one of us. And notice also he says, so don't boast. Don't boast and be false about the truth. This is the reality we all deal with, right? Mm-hmm. See, don't deny it. This is the reality of life. We stress with this. I'm like two people. How about you?
That's right.
You know, we have this desire to serve God and love Him. We want to grow. We start to grow, but we also know this part of us still comes up and cries out and does things we shouldn't be doing and we don't want to be doing. And this wrestling, and he's saying, don't be false to that truth. The same thing when it comes to this bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Wisdom from above is earthly, spiritual. Actually, I shouldn't have it. The verse 15. Earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. That's what he calls it. Earthly, it's natural and it's worldly. That's another word for it. Earthly wisdom views and evaluates life from a limited world view, from worldly standards, and not from God's eternal vantage point. It's not seeing the bigger picture that God sees. It's unfolding in God's plan. It only sees this moment from this world view. It's landlocked and serves this world's purpose only. He's saying that's the kind of the wisdom we don't want to be a part of. It's unspiritual. Depending on what translation you have, this one's unspiritual. Actually, sometimes it's translated sensual.
Sensual, King James.
It's sensual. That's what the word means. It's driven by all five senses. It's driven by our desire to gain comfort, to gain our rights, to gain control of things. It makes our purposes the highest goal for life, and how are we going to serve ourselves? It's self-serving. It's demonic. It proceeds from demons. What did the demons do from the very beginning? They rebel.
That's right.
It's demonic. This kind of wisdom is, in its root, is rebellious. They're looking to revolt. That's what he's saying. He said, that's the kind of wisdom. This earthly, sensual, or unspiritual, demonic wisdom inspires, and its source is jealousy and selfish ambition. This says it's not compatible with being a part of the community of Christ. It shouldn't be a part of our life. But as we struggle through living this life, we're going to actually have to deal with it. James, interesting, James does here. He actually uses some of the, he contrasts, he doesn't name the people that may be saying this, but he names the characteristics, and he actually uses some of their words against themselves.
That's right.
See, this bitter jealousy would have been the same word they used for zeal. Is zeal good? Having a zeal for God, yes, right. You know, that's a good thing. But this kind of zeal was different. It involved bitter jealousy. It was a rivalry. And so here, this kind of zeal that God has, or that they were having, it had malicious intent towards their rival. So there's this jealousy. Anybody ever had?
Maybe I should ask this one.
I'm thinking about it as jealousy, like when we were in high school with your boyfriends, girlfriends. And maybe you guys never did that.
Your story.
I guess I'm just going to tell my story. And you want to strike out. It's just malicious intent that somebody you're holding this anger against because of that jealousy. Maybe if you've never had to deal with that, bless you. But that's what he's talking about. This bitter jealousy it holds this intent, this malicious intent towards a rival. And he uses that word here because that's the word they would use to say this is we have to have zeal. We're the agents of God's justice. We should be striking out for God's sake. That's what they were using. And he's trying to use God to manipulate a response that was intent on hurting others. He's saying that's not characteristic of God's wisdom at all. And then the next one, he says, spiritual ambition. This is an interesting one. It's a party spirit. It's actually a word used for electioneering for office. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
And with the, as they're electioneering, they're trying to court followers by trickery.
Yep.
Yes.
That's what the word means there. That's the same word they would have used as they were trying to court followers. They were influenced. Earlier he says, "Is be careful who wants to be a teacher or influencer. God holds this, you know, seriously." And here he's saying this selfish ambition is party spirit. It actually divides people and sets people at odds with each other. Not unifying, not bringing peace. This, he's saying, has nothing to do with the wisdom that comes from God. In fact, all it does is produce disorder. Notice the word here? It's another word, anarchy. Oh, so see, he's using words that they would have been familiar with all the time, just like it is now. So there's nothing new under the sun. It's not like what we see now in our own culture with the voices calling for striking out, dividing, electioneering, pulling people apart, and trying to use God to say, well, this is what God wants. There's a movement of people that use God on both sides.
That's right.
Trying to divide instead of bringing unity and hope and peace and healing. That's the wisdom that was there. It's wisdom that's in the world now. It brings disorder. It brings confusion. It brings every vile or evil practice. He's making it clear that this kind of wisdom doesn't... Now that James has made it clear the kind of wisdom we don't want, he's going to clarify the kind of wisdom that he doesn't want, that God wants us to have. Wisdom that's from above. What it looks like, what it acts like, and what it speaks like. We're going to see that it's not just like theory. He's not going to just call some theory. He's talking about very practical things that make a difference in our life. What wisdom from above is like. So wisdom above is what? It's first, it's pure. Earlier in the book, he says, keep yourself unstained. Anybody have like a white sheet? Or anybody feel like you're drinking something, like some juice? Oh. It's stained. Once it's stained, it's marked. It's not pure anymore. That's here. He's saying the wisdom from above is pure. It's not stained by anything of bitter jealousies, any self-ambition. It's not earthly. It's not sensual. It's not demonic. It's not been stained by any of that. That's the wisdom from above. He says, keep it that way. And then he says, next, it says it's peaceable. It's peace-loving.
Somebody said
that? Yep, someone just went in. It's peace. It's peace-loving. It produces peace in us in our relationship in the church and outside the church. And this is in contrast. You say the wisdom that's from above that God gives us is peaceable. It's not competitive. It's not selfish. It's not looking for our own things. It doesn't create disorder. It's gentle. It's considerate. It's non-combative. Remember that next time we're in an argument. Then don't look at me. I'm reading this, I read these things, I'm thinking like, man, don't be false to the truth. We all struggle with this, right? This is really practical stuff that James is calling us to live out. And so he says it's gentle, it's open to reason, it's willing to yield, what it means. It's willing to learn, willing to correct, willing to listen to another speak. It's not self-seeking. It's not obstinate like the zealots. It's full of mercy and good fruits. And James was referring to earlier in the book when he talked about acts of mercy, acts of kindness, acts of compassion on those that were in need. It's full of that. And you've heard me say before, you can't give what you don't got. The more you experience the mercy of God and his compassion towards us, guess what happens? The more mercy and compassion comes out of us. And it's important for us to actually go to God and look for his mercy and ask for that for our own life. And that changes us. It's impartial. It shows no favoritism. It doesn't show any favoritism at all. It's sincere. It's real. It's genuine. It's without hypocrisy. You see, here he's saying, these are real practical things. If we were to practice those things, our life would change and those around us would change. It would impact our world. And look at the difference. You can see the impact of our words we spoke earlier. The last sermon, now he's talking about wisdom and how we live our life and speak our words. The impact, whether it's worldly wisdom or godly wisdom. And both have an impact on the world around us. Not just our own life, but everybody we touch. Everybody we're around. We impact people. We impact our community. So he calls us to have this kind of wisdom. And these are the harvest of righteousness
is sown in peace by those who make peace. Righteousness can't be produced in a climate of anger, of, as he says, man's anger never produces God's righteousness. See, righteousness, it flourishes in a climate of peace. We want to harvest righteousness, and who does? Righteousness means right living with God, right living with people. And it only comes through this wisdom that comes from above. And we need it. We can't give ourselves that. I was thinking about the earlier, last sermon, talking about no human can tame the tongue. Well, no human can change our life. No, we can't change our own heart. We can't make ourselves like this. I've tried. Have you?
Amen.
Have you gotten mad about it? As I was thinking about this, is there's a, and I still do it. It's just, we have this thing, it's the thing about, earlier it says, do not boast. What's boasting? Pride, right? We boast because we're prideful. And I'm going to say, there's sometimes, I'm thinking like, there's times, years ago, that's 2 years ago, I did this story.
We get
mad. We do something wrong, and we're like, I can't believe I did that. But I'm still doing that. You know, getting mad, then I'm mad. Then why am I mad that I'm mad? It's a reminder. It's like, it's pride. I still think I can do this. I still think I can change my own heart. I still think I can make me the gentle person. I still think I can make myself the one that can be full of mercy and compassion. I think I'm the one that can still change those things about my life. I can't. I never could before, and I never can now. I can't tame my tongue, and I can't tame my heart. There's only one person that can do that. Jesus. The power of the Spirit. Even as Jesus calling us, that's why, I come back to this verse here. Do not boast and be false about the truth. This reality that we all struggle with is still through this process of walking with God. We can't be false to this. We have to just own that reality and continually come humble to God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Those that understand their spiritual poverty, that they cannot do it, need God's grace and abundance. They'll get it. That's what he says. So I want this. I want to change life. I want to change life not only for myself, but for my family, my friends, my community. Because I know my life will change other people's lives. For good or for bad. And it's the same for you and for us in the community. So let's not boast. And let's not be false to the truth. Let's own that. Let's see ourselves here in this here. This in here, especially I was thinking about this. We think James is writing to them, like it's like he's writing to our time, isn't he? Mm-hmm. And this culture, this idea of bitter jealousies, this violent calling out by different sides, all that stuff that we hear, this influence that's trying to drive us to respond in a worldly way. Someone else, I think it was David and Jill said, we're starting fast the news. We're shutting it off.
It's been over a month.
And I'm sure it's changed you.
Amen.
It's changing. It's the atmosphere in our home.
It changes us by what we let. See, James is not just saying, what about you? He's talking about, who are you listening to? What are you letting influence your life, your heart, the way you think, and the words you speak? It's important to what we listen to. Then he gives an answer. Actually, chapter 4, down the last one, we'll close with this. Oops, I'm next one. Oh, I actually just scrolled it because it's a little further down. But he gives grace. This here, as you go into chapter 4, he starts to talk about you fight, you war, you struggle through all these things. Why do you have all that inside? It's because of the passions within you need to be dealt with. And he actually comes to this place in verse 6 through 10. He gives an answer. How do we get the wisdom from above that James talks about? How do we have that become a part of our life? He starts to actually talk about it. Firstly, in the middle, he says, don't be proud. Don't be boasting like you got it. Be true to what's going on in your heart. Don't be false to that truth. Then he says, he gives grace. He gives more grace. Talking about God. Therefore, he says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You want to continue to be proud about how you're trying to do it on your own? God's going to oppose us. It's actually a military term, to be standing against military. It's used, it's a strong fortress. He said that's what God does when we continue to be proud. So we got to put away our pride. He gives grace to the humble. We come humbly before God. We own it. We have to understand our own brokenness and our own need for God. And that's the answer. And he says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Think about this. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Does that say submit to some new rules?
No.
Don't submit to Kenny's teaching.
No.
Right? No, don't submit to Kenny's concepts, to what he's explaining, all the definitions. That's not what he's saying submit to. What's he saying submit to?
God,
the person, the Father. This is what happens. Lots of times we do is we hear a teaching and we think, well, I've got to put it into practice. This is the practice he's calling us to put into practice. Submit to God. Go to Him. Go to the Father. Draw near. He goes on. He says, resist the devil. Stand against anything that's influential from the devil, that's demonic, that's sensual, that's earthly. Stand against it. Don't let it have anything in your heart, any sway in your heart. Then he says, and he'll flee. He says, draw near to God. Draw near. Yep. Draw him close. Then he has to give draw him close. And what's the thing God does? He does the same. He comes right up close. As soon as he starts to see us start to draw near, start to submit to him, guess what he does? Oh, I'm here. He starts giving grace to the humble. That's what he said. Here's the answer. What we want. And then he says, he just cleanse your hands. Then we have to start putting, we have to start putting away some of the practices we do. We have to make a decision. Like someone said, we fasted the news. I don't know if that's for everybody, but that's for them. That's what God has directed them to do. Amen. Cleanse your hands. Some practices that God will put in your heart, say, I need to put that aside.
Amen, that's right.
You start to put practice in that. It's not just theory. You know, we can have... Where's my Bible? We can read this thing, and we can say all the scripture verses in here, and our life not say the same thing.
Yeah.
Do we know it?
Yeah.
No! We only know it when we do it. When we practiced it. See, this misunderstanding, we had this concept that because we know something, we can say a verse, we can say a teaching, and say a principle of God, that just because we say it, we know it when we actually practice it, when we actually have the wisdom to apply it to our life. As we say, it's cleanse your hand. You said, purify your hearts. Be double-minded, be wretched and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Meaning repentance. Repentance just means recognizing our own roof, our brokenness. Oh,
that's right.
We can't change, we can't turn from something unless we know what we're turning from. Mm-hmm. We can say, I'm just turning from a bad attitude. Well, what's the bad attitude and what's it doing? Mm-hmm. It's specific. And repentance means we actually own that part of us. He's saying, turn from that. It's humble yourself before the Lord, and guess what he'll do? Exalt you, he'll lift you up. And he says he gives grace. You know what grace is?
Unmerited favor.
That's one definition. It's also the divine influence upon the heart that changes a person's direction.
Yeah.
So he's saying, when we humble ourselves, he lifts up, he actually gives us a degree. This divine influence comes on us. Starts to shape our heart and starts to move us in a direction that we could not have gone without his help.
Yeah.
And we need his help. I want this. I want you guys to have it. I want us, I want the church as a whole to move from the wisdom of this that's earthly to something that's spiritual, that's from above, that comes from God, because it changes not only us, but the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make a difference, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.